Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Brother Butch, where is he? Is he here? He always say that Abbotsford is just 15 minutes from YBR. So it's not too far from New West. I praise God that you're all here. We've had a crazy week with this, the heavy downfall of snow. And I thank God that you're here safe and warm. And I'm also happy to see some of our brethren who have come back from another part of the world where ash and rocks are falling from the sky. So I think compared to ash and rocks, I would prefer snow because it's lighter and you can even use it for halo-halo. Okay, our series is entitled Truth Matters, and today we continue our series on Truth Matters. And we're looking at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is about the continuation of the work of Jesus through the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles and his people. Who is the church again? We are. If you and I are here today as a true believer and follower of Jesus Christ, we are the church. Church is not a building, okay? It's not a building. So while we're praying for a building, we are already the church. So while we are here as the church today, we are learning how the church was in the past, so we can learn how to become the kind of church that God wants us to be. Truth Matters, and our subtitle for our series is Share the Truth, Change the World. Could you tell that to your seatmate? Share the truth and change the world. What truth have we learned so far in our message series? Pastor Benji discussed them when we studied Acts chapter 2, pertaining to the Apostle Peter's sermon. First, there is the truth about ourselves, that we are all sinners and separated from God. Romans 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." If we do not accept the truth about ourselves, then we will never appreciate the coming and death of Jesus on the cross. In this case, we will remain in our sins and will face judgment someday. If we do not believe and accept that we are sinners, we will not be saved. Second, there is the truth about God, that God is holy. Habakkuk 1, verse 13 says, Your eyes, pertaining to God, are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. God is holy and cannot tolerate sin. Our sin separates us from God, but God is love. We know that from John 3, verse 16, that says, okay, it's not there. Okay, all right. You know John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16. In his love and mercy, God planned long ago to redeem the fallen humanity through Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. This leads us to the third truth, which is all about Jesus. What is this truth? Number one, that Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. Romans 5:8 states, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Number two, Jesus rose from the dead. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 6. What's the next truth about Jesus? Is that Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus declared himself, "I am the truth and I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the message of hope that will transform lives, families, communities, and nations. And Jesus gave us the church, the mission to make disciples. He commanded that in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And do you know what CCF mission is? Yes? Okay, to know, to honor God, and to make Christ committed followers who will make Christ committed followers. The apostles cannot do this mission by their own will or strength. It is by the power of the Spirit. That is why Jesus commanded them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And let's read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's on the slide. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We learned that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples to empower them to be witness for Jesus, they were given the supernatural ability to speak the languages of the nations in the Roman Empire. Because of this, the Jews were drawn to ask the disciples, "What is the meaning of this?" Today we will examine how God empowered the disciples to bring healing to people, enabling and empowering them to be witnesses for Jesus. That's what we will talk about this morning. And one of the things that we can do to be witnesses for Christ is to help people find healing in Jesus. Would you tell that to your neighbor? Help people find healing in Jesus. Before we continue, let's pray and commit our time to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us safely to this place. Thank you, Lord, for this place where we worship you and we gather. And we have the freedom, Lord, to study your word without fear of persecution. Father, we pray that you will really enlighten our minds and hearts. Father, will you quiet our thoughts, O Lord, that we may take this hour to just focus on you and discern your will for us. Thank you, Lord. Will you just supersede my preparation? Speak to me and through me, Lord, by your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we continue our study of the book of Acts, and our passage this morning is found in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Could I ask all of you to please stand up, and let's honor the word of God by reading it together. Okay, one, two, three. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Thank you. Please take your seats. Okay. Last week, we learned about habits of a church that is Spirit-filled. Do you still remember the habits that we talked about last Sunday? Anyone? I will treat you for lunch in Abbotsford. Okay, we talked about the habit of learning God's word, meeting in small group, doing life on life with other people, worshiping God with others, and witnessing for Jesus. It's really good that, although no one remembered, but it's good to know these habits on the head. But for our maximum benefit, we should start really doing and applying these habits. I shared in our D group last week that one of my life goals this year is to read the Bible every day and finish it this year. Today we will learn further how we can be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, and that is in helping people find healing in Him. There are two ways to learn from this passage. We're going to learn from the lame beggar, the person who couldn't walk, and we're going to learn from the apostles Peter and John, who were used by God to administer healing to the crippled man. Before we dive into to discuss our passage, let me share a few observations related to our topic. First, every one of us needs healing. Every one of us needs healing. Not just physical healing, but all kinds of healing. Everyone, regardless of your background, regardless of your status in life, whether you're a Christian or not, I believe we all need healing. Do you have an illness or physical disability? You know, I've been experiencing back pain since 2 days ago. I don't know why. Maybe it was because of shoveling the snow. Or maybe I am getting old. What about emotional healing? Are you going through discouragement, depression, anxiety, anger? Are you always stressed out? Or do you lose your patience easily? How about mental healing? Many people today are challenged mentally. They are mentally sick. I have a loved one who has bipolar disorder. Are you addicted to something that is destroying your life? Social media, sex, pornography, substance abuse, materialism. How about relational healing? How is your relationship with your parents? What's the condition of your marriage? If we are honest to ourselves, we know even our marriage is sick. We have miscommunication at home. We hurt each other at the home. How about financial healing? May sakit ba kayo sa bulsa? How's your career? How's your business? Most importantly, do you realize you need healing of your soul? Everyone needs healing. Second, I think oftentimes, people who need healing, that's you and me, we share a common problem. And what is that? We are in denial. We deny that we are sick and that there's something wrong with us. Not just physically, but sometimes emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. When you ask your friend, "How are you?" what will they say? "I'm okay." Or, "I'm fine." "It's okay." Our first response to problem is to deny it. But are you aware that the first step to complete healing is to admit that you are sick? To admit that you need help, that your marriage is crumbling, that your finances are not doing good, that emotionally you are drained. If we want to experience true healing, we need to admit first we are sick and we need help. Not only do we deny we are sick, many of us, like me, we do self-medication. Who among you likes to play doctor in your life? Raise your hand. I do that. When I'm sick, I don't go and see the doctor. I didn't want to go to the emergency as my back was hurting because I'm afraid of the long wait. So yesterday, I went to YouTube to find out the remedy for my back pain. I tried a few stretching routine, but it didn't work. So I asked my wife for help, and she gave me a loving massage. But I don't know if she's mad at me because she seemed to have pounded my back that I felt numb afterwards. Joke only. The loving hands of my wife really gave me comfort. the pain lesson that I'm standing here now. So praise God for you, my love. Do you do self-medication? Yeah, it may work fine for minor sickness like common cough or cold, but it doesn't work as well for more serious condition like kidney failure, cancer, etc. But that's what we do. We resort to self-medication. I know there's something wrong with my life. I know there's something wrong with my marriage. I know there's something wrong with my spiritual well-being, but I can handle this myself. I don't need help. We admit we are not in denial, but we are too proud and we resist the help of others. We can do this, we tell ourselves. But the real question is, can you really handle it yourself? Can you really solve your situation? Because there are times when you and I cannot handle our situation, our problems alone, that we need the help of others. Self-medication doesn't work at times because we need others. Do you need healing in your life? Then don't deny it and seek help. And that's the case we see here in Acts 3. Let's read. It says a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple. What's the implication of that description? A man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple. I think it goes to show us how helpless the man was. He cannot help himself. Why? Because he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. Imagine every day of his existence, he would have to be carried along, and perhaps the only thing he did was to beg for money. Thus, I think this lame person felt helpless. I think not just helpless, but hopeless. And there are times we behave like that. You may be thinking your situation is hopeless. My life will never change. My marriage will never change. My financial situation will never change. My career, my business will never change. Everything about me is the same. Will things ever change in my life? Is that how you feel about your situation now? If that's how you feel, I do praise God that you are here, and I pray that God's word will minister to you. The question is this: did the man ever think of being able to walk again one day? Do you think it crossed his mind? I think one day I will walk again. Was that ever in his mind? Or was he already resigned that he was born lame and he will die lame? That's the case of many people today. They are helpless and they are hopeless, thinking that there's no way that life will ever change. Well, our message today, this morning, is very simple. There is hope. And Jesus still heals today. God can still heal you today. Yes, he can. Yes, you can help people find healing in Jesus. So let's examine our passage. Let's read verses 1 and 2. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. So the man begged Peter and John for money, but Peter helped him find more than what he asked for, and that is healing in the name of Jesus. To make the long story short, Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he told the lame person to walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. That's what Peter said. As a result, in verse 7, it says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. Perhaps the man couldn't understand when he heard Peter say, walk. It's possible he did not immediately stand up and walk. So Peter had to help him up. So taking him by the right hand. In other words, the lame beggar has no idea, no inkling that he will be able to walk one day. So when he heard Peter say walk, he was likely dumbfounded. Huh? Peter, walk. And many times we're like that. You know? Somebody has to come and help us. And that's the church, you and me. We're given the privilege to help others find healing in Jesus. Because many people out there think that their situation is hopeless, like the lame person. That we need to take them by the hand and tell them, yes, your situation can change. Yes, there is hope in Jesus. That's what Peter did. So as a result, the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he helped, and he jumped his feet and he began to walk. Can you imagine walking for the first time? Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I don't know what your situation is, but if you need healing, know this. Jesus can still heal you today. Jesus, God can still do miracles today. Your case is not unique. You are not helpless and you are not hopeless. Everyone needs healing, but most importantly, complete healing comes from Jesus. We can see that happening in Acts 3, verse 16, as explained by Peter. He said, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name, in the faith that comes through him, that has completely healed him, as you all can see." It was not the faith of the cripple that healed him, because we read in verse 5, he only expected to get some money from Peter and John. The healing also was not caused by special powers or mind over matter technique employed by Peter. In Acts 3, verse 12, Peter said, "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" What Peter was saying was that the power that healed the man was not his power, nor was his religiousness the agent of healing. It is simply not a human act which they have seen. So what brought the healing then? What brought the healing? Verse 16 says, it was caused by faith in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the healing agent. The name of Jesus stands for who he is. Acting in Jesus' name means acting under the authority and will of God. John Piper, in one of his sermons, pointed out that when Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk," what he actually meant was, "I am speaking the words, but Jesus is now healing you. When I speak in his name, with the faith that he has now given me for your healing, he is the one acting, not me." Jesus made a promise to his people, when we act in faith in his name. Everybody, let's read John 14, verses 12 to 14. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Peter also attributed that the faith to heal the man was given by Jesus when he said, "The faith that comes through him that has completely healed him." Complete healing comes from Jesus. In Psalm 147, verse 3, God's word says, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 8, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Don't do our..." Okay. There. One more. There. Okay. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Don't do self-medication. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." If you've been feeling like, "Lord, I don't know if I still have what it takes to live. I'm surviving, but I'm not thriving." Some of us are living that way. We are simply existing. We need God's healing, and Jesus alone can heal you and me. If that is you today, I pray that you will learn to put your trust in God, because He can heal you. God can heal your marriage. God can heal you emotionally, physically, financially, and most of all, God can heal you spiritually. If you believe that, can you please tell to your seatmate, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. And it's time to walk. It's time to walk. Don't wallow up in your problems. Before we can help others find healing, do you agree that we must first experience healing ourselves? So church, God wants to use you. God wants to change the world through you. But before He can change the world through you, He wants to change you and your world. Do you believe that God can change you? Amen. Or do you feel hopeless? There is no hopeless in Christ, because the Bible says the same power that is at work in raising Jesus from the dead is the same power that is at work in you. Romans 8, verse 11. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that can resurrect your life, your marriage, your career, that can resurrect even your love life. Is this possible? Yes, it's very much possible. So don't lose hope, singles. Okay? Don't lose hope. And the married ones, don't want to be a single again, okay? Love your marriage. Because God's desire and plan for you is that you will find healing in Jesus so that you can help others find healing as well. So let's learn from Peter and John. How do we help others find healing as we ourselves experience healing? Next slide. Verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So that day, Peter and John, they planned to go to the temple to pray, to worship the Lord. That's their plan. But God has another plan for Peter and John, such that on their way to the temple, a man interrupted them asking for money. Next slide. Verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money, the lame beggar. This crippled beggar likely was being carried to the temple because he and those who help him know that was where the religious people go, and those who go to the temple have the inclination to help and give, right? So that's what's happening here. Verse 2, next slide. He was put there every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. Day in and day out, they brought the lame person to the gate called Beautiful so he can ask for money. As Peter and John were on their way to pray in the temple, according to our text, the crippled beggar turned to them asking for money. In other words, Peter and John were interrupted. How do we behave when sometimes we encounter interruption? When you are interrupted, what's our tendency? We ignore, I think. We ignore. But what we call interruption can actually be a divine intervention. Are you aware that God gives us interruptions from time to time? God will interrupt your schedule. He will interrupt your plans so that He can actually bring you to accomplish His purposes in life for you. But we view this as just like that, interruptions. Therefore, we reject them. We are too busy doing our own thing that we miss on the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others. But praise God, Peter and John did not say to the beggar, "Sorry, we're on our way to the temple. Sorry, we're about to pray and worship the Lord. Can we see you next time?" Praise God, Peter and John was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, sensitive to God's divine appointment. If you look at the life of the disciples, they were actually interrupted big time by the Lord Jesus. Who were the disciples? There was a carpenter. There were fishermen. There was a tax collector. There was a doctor. These men were interrupted by the Lord such that they left everything behind and followed Him. How do you react to interruption in your life? Do you like being interrupted? Do you like being interrupted? I looked at the many miracles that Jesus performed, and this is what I realized. That most of Jesus' miracles were actually done through interruption. Do you remember the paralytic with his four friends in Mark 2? What was the Lord doing there? He was teaching a group of people inside the house. That house was so packed with people that the four friends could not bring the paralytic before Jesus. So what did they do? They interrupted Jesus by destroying the roof of the house and making a way for the paralytic to go before Jesus. Did Jesus say, "Why are you interrupting my message? I'm in the middle of speaking here. Do you know how it feels? Do you know how it feels to be interrupted when you're speaking in front? For instance, if I'm speaking, then the PowerPoint screen goes blank. I panic. Buti pa si Pastor Benji, hindi siya nagpapanik. He's always cool and pogi. I don't like being interrupted, but Jesus was interrupted. He did not say, "Hoy, bayaran niyo yung bubong. That's an expensive roof." Okay? He didn't say that. Jesus never said that. In fact, he immediately recognized the need to pronounce the person healed based on the faith of the four friends. Do you remember the woman who got healed simply by touching the cloak of Jesus? It's in Luke 8, verses 43 to 48. What happened there was Jesus was on his way to somewhere when he got interrupted by a woman whose faith is this, that if I can simply touch the cloak of Jesus, I can be healed. We find a similar story in Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. As Jesus was going down from the mountainside, a man with leprosy just knelt before him. So are we too busy to help? Do we recognize the opportunities that God are sending our way? If you want to be used greatly by the Lord, then we need to pray to to be sensitive to opportunities to help others find healing in Jesus. Are we good stewards of these opportunities? Verse 4, let's read. Peter looked straight at him. He didn't say to the beggar, "Don't bother me." Peter actually stopped and he looked the man straight at his eyes, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. What was he expecting? Money, yes. And yet, this was what he heard. Verse 6, Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." Can you imagine the beggar hearing Peter say, "Silver or gold I do not have"? If you were the lame beggar, will you be happy? No. What? You called my attention only to tell me you don't have money? You tell me you look at you in the eye? But Peter continued to say, "But what I do have, I give you." Let's go back. Go back. There. Stop. Go back. One more. There. Okay? Peter said, "What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." What is the principle that we can learn here? What we view as limitations are actually opportunities to see God do a miracle through us. What we view as limitations are opportunities to see God do a miracle through us. Peter said, "I don't have silver and gold." Some of us, we look at our limitations and say, "Sorry, I cannot help you." I think some of us here have heard God's call to make a difference in the life of someone else. And yet you look at your limitation and say, "Sorry, Lord, I don't think I'm the right person. Silver and gold, I don't have. I don't have the talent. I don't have the time. I don't know how." Therefore, we allow our limitation to limit our experience of God. That's why we sometimes wonder, how come my Christian life is so lame? It's so normal. It's because we allow our limitation to do just that, to limit us. To limit us. Better put, to limit what God can do through us. The good thing about Peter and John is they recognized their limitation. They didn't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. They did not allow their limitation to limit God through them. And this brings me to the conclusion that it's not what I can do, but what God can do through me. It's not what I can do, but what God can do through me. That's what Peter said. It's not what I did that healed the lame. It was in Jesus' name that this person was made to walk again. Acts 3:12 says, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Peter is saying, this is not about us, friends. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. It's not about me and it's not about you. In fact, God wants to use that limitation so you and I will learn to depend on him and him alone. Can you imagine what would have happened if Peter and John had silver and gold in their pocket? The story would have changed. It would have been that when the lame man asked them for money, Peter would have took out silver and gold from his pocket and gave it to the man, saying, God bless you. And then walk away. Would that lame person be able to walk? I don't think so. That's just my vain imagination. If God gave you what others need, you may not be able to depend on the Lord. It is exactly in our limitation that we learn to be spirit-filled, to trust in Him and His strength alone to do the impossible. And that's what Peter was testifying before the Israelites. It is not about me nor our godliness. Nothing special about us. This man is healed only because of Jesus, whom you crucified and has risen from the dead. Let's continue Acts 3 verses 9 to 10. Let's read. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Few things I'd like to highlight here. Number one, the lame who was able to walk again. And not only was he walking, he was also jumping, and he was praising God. You see, the problem of us is this. One, sometimes we don't believe that God can heal us. Two, if he healed us, we don't attribute it to God. Just like the story of the 10 lepers. You remember the 10 lepers in Luke 17? Jesus healed the 10 lepers, but how many people out of the 10 thanked the Lord? Out of 10, just one, the Samaritan. The Samaritan. Just one came back to thank the Lord. So praise God for this lame beggar who recognized that when his life was hopeless and helpless, only Jesus healed him. As I shared in our D group, I recently rewrote my personal testimony. Have you written your own story on how you met the Lord? Let me teach you a simple guide to write your own testimony. You can actually write your testimony in one page or less. You can use bullet points. You can use English, French, or Tagalog. You can type it in the computer, or you can simply write it down. Whatever you'd prefer. But you can follow the simple outline. Okay, number one, before Christ. BC, before Christ. Think of three things that best describe you before you accepted Jesus into your life. Three things. In my case, I did not believe that Jesus is God. I go to church but did not really obey God. And I ran my life based on whatever gives me pleasure and fulfillment. My life was mired in broken relationships, bad career and financial decisions, and lack of vision. That's my life in a nutshell before I met Jesus. How about you? Don't copy mine, okay? Think your own. How about you? Don't say you don't have something to tell. God gave you a story, and it's as important as everyone else's. Second part, TP. BC, TP, turning point, how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Sometime June 2002, a friend of mine invited us to attend CCF worship service in Manila. It was the start of me regularly attending worship service, Bible studies, and joining a D group. As my knowledge about Jesus got deeper, and my understanding of the gospel got clear, I made the personal commitment to follow Jesus in April of 2003. And I was baptized in June 2005. How about you? Again, don't copy mine. Did you accept Jesus in a worship service like this? Or did somebody share the gospel with you at your office or in your school? Did you attend a retreat? Couples retreat is coming up. We can invite people there to know the Lord, to meet the Lord, to encounter the Lord. Whatever was your turning point, you can describe it briefly. And finally, AD, Anno Domini, or after Christ. What are the three changes that happened in your life after you accepted the Lord? So from 2004 to 2009, as I was growing in obedience to God and learning to trust in the power of prayer, God healed my relationship with my parents and siblings. He restored my career and finances, and He gave me a clear purpose as a disciple. So is this something you can do? You think? I believe so. I believe all of us can do this. We can all write our story. So as I was telling you, I encouraged my D group last week to revisit and write their stories so they can be reminded on how God has been so faithful and true to His promises. So may I ask you to also take the time this week to write your own story. It won't take too long, maybe 30 minutes. Just write down during your break or whenever you're not doing anything. Don't think your life story is ordinary. Don't think it is so ordinary that it is not as good as others. Every story is important. Every story is important. Who are the D group leaders here? Could you raise your hands, please? Okay, thank you. May I appeal to you, D group leaders, to ask and encourage your members to write their stories and send it to you. If you are blessed when you hear testimonies of people whose lives have changed, what will stop you from sharing your own changed life someday? Don't worry, we may not ask you to share up here, but somebody that God has placed within your reach needs to hear your story. It may be your co-worker or fellow student, maybe a friend or a stranger you meet at Tim Hortons. Silver or gold you may not have, but you have a story that God has given you that you can help people find healing in Jesus. The best way you can thank the Lord for the healing you have received or the blessing you have experienced is to tell it to others. That's what the crippled man did, praising God, and therefore people were astonished. This is the same guy who couldn't walk, but now here he is, praising God. God can use your stories. When God heals you, I hope you will not keep it to yourself. When God blesses you, I hope you will jump up and down, thanking the Lord and telling others. So God will not only bless you, but use your blessing, your healing, as a testimony for others to see. That's what being witnesses is all about. Telling others our experience, our healing in the Lord. Peter was able to explain what this healing and miracle is all about. He shared the gospel, and we see it in Acts 4:4. And many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. You have no idea what God can do through your stories. If you will simply trust God and witness for Him about great things He has done for you. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? If not yet, will you pray, Lord, would you do great things in my life? Would you come and heal me? Lord, would you restore my life? Would you offer whatever is hopeless in your life, financially, relationally, spiritually, would you surrender that to the Lord? Lord, would you bring down healing in my life? Now, people were not simply amazed because of the lame who was able to walk. They were also amazed because of the disciples. We learn this in Acts 2, verse 7 and 8. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then who is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Now, who were the Galileans? They were rural folks, and they were simply fishermen. In other words, can good things come out of Galileans? But they were amazed that they were speaking in different tongues. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will live beyond the natural. Is the Christian life hard? Pastor Peter will always say, the Christian life is not hard. It is impossible. You and I can only live the victorious Christian life if we are filled by the Spirit. Then and only then can we be empowered to do the impossible. In Acts 4, the same thing is happening. Let's read. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They saw the courage of Peter. Imagine that. Courage of Peter. He just denied Jesus a few months ago. And he ran away in fear for his life. And yet now, we see in Acts 4 that he was courageous. The difference the Spirit can make. Yes, you can help other people and you can make a difference. So please tell your seatmate, it's time to get up. It's time to walk and be used by God. Maybe you're saying, I myself is sick and in need of healing. Therefore, I urge you to come before the Lord today in humility. Admit to God your situation and ask Him to heal you. Any one of you today who feel helpless and hopeless? Are you resigned to the idea that your life will never change? But you came today, and it's no accident that you are here. Today could be your divine appointment. This could be the day that you are healed. And just like Peter, God is now calling your attention. Look at me, God is telling you. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at others. Don't look at your career, yourself. Look at me. Look at Jesus. Because only Jesus can bring healing to every one of us. Will you look at Jesus today? Ask Him, Lord, will you heal me? If God has healed you in miraculous ways, will you thank Him? Will you make a commitment to be used by God to bring healing to others? Don't say no to interruption. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Don't focus on your limitation, but depend on Jesus. Remember, God can use you regardless of who you are, because it's not about you, but what God can do through you. It's time to get up and walk in faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that you've spoken to us. We pray, Lord, that your message has been clear. And we pray, Lord, that the seed that you planted in us will continue to grow. We pray, Lord, that this week we'll be able to make small steps, because it's not about the knowledge in our head, O Lord, but it is really about applying your word day by day in our lives. Father, will you help us by your Spirit? Will you empower us as we are confronted, Lord, with our weaknesses, our concerns in life? Lord, may we choose to focus on you and depend on you, not on our situation, O God, as we take a step of faith, Lord, and obey you, Lord. Father, will you bless your people, and will you bless us, Lord, for the rest of the week. May your word, O God, be a constant reminder to all of us that you are faithful and that you are with us every day. This we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.